Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the consequences of change and how today's choices impact tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It is made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. Chris Kington Barker is today's host, and she will be talking with local guests from Equine Experience, a nonprofit located in Paso Robles, California, offering profound and life-changing encounters with horses. You're invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation today. Call in and be part of the discussion at 805-549-8855 or email your questions to voices at KCBX. Now let's join Chris Kington Barker and her guests. Over to you, Chris.
Thank you, Brad. The life coaching with horses is done by Central Coast organization located in Paso Robles, California. Equine Experience is an alternative, safe, and gentle form of support that offers individuals and groups hands-on outdoor activities with horses and trained coaches. Through this work, clients can embark on a life-changing journey and experience a visceral understanding about how their interstate shapes different aspects of their lives. We're going to learn more about what all that means when I'm joined by my guest, Yuta Turner, and Kasha Rather, directors and master coaches with Equine Experience. Also with them are two individuals who are with nonprofits in the area who have that experience, Shannon McGowett, executive director with Hospice of San Luis Obispo County, and Lexi Masters, housing administrative coordinator with the Restorative Partners Incorporated. And they're going to be talking about the mission of Equine Experience and their work with horses to provide support and give back to those who serve in our community. And I'm really pleased to have all of you with me today. Thank you for being here. And I'm going to start, if you don't mind, I would love to start, Kasha and Yuta, with just a question about a little bit about your background, each of you, and how you actually got involved in life coaching, and then maybe talk about how you brought horses and why you brought horses into that. So Yuta, can I start with you?
Yes. So I have been involved in horses pretty much all my life. I grew up on a large horse ranch in Germany. And then, like a lot of people, found out that if you do something with horses, it's often not financially very stable. So I decided to go in a different direction. And then at some point in my life, I came back around to realizing, is this all that there is in life, making money and working all day? And so I realized I really wanted to give back to the community and give back to people, because that really gave me the biggest joy. I started enrolling in a life coaching program and finished that, and then heard about a coaching program that also uses horses as facilitators. And that's another program I enrolled in and then finished it, and then did another extension of it, became master facilitator of the same program. And that's where I met Kasha.
And how long was that training for you? How long did that take?
It was a total of about 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Pretty much a commitment for you.
It was a large commitment, but it was really something that just spoke to my heart, and also combined my love of horses and my desire to help people. It was really a perfect fit for me.
Yeah, it sounds like. And Kasha, how about for you?
Well, because of my childhood experience, with growing around horses, later in my mid-20s, I decided to change my career and life and come to the States and learn more about horses, alternative ways of training. I spent, about 15 years working exclusively with horses, and I have learned a lot of things, but one of the most important elements of that journey were how horses were positively influencing my own life and how much of a better person I have become because of all my interactions with horses and learning from them. So then sort of as a natural, consequence for me was to look for a way of combining horses and people together. And life coaching came across my way. Like Yuta, I spent 5 years training to be just a life coach, and then also going through the program that incorporates horses. Eventually, I've become one of the instructors who now teach future equus coaches. And meantime, meeting Yuta and realizing that we live almost in a neighborhood help us both to make a decision of becoming partners and taking this work, into this community and, creating this nonprofit.
Yeah. Now real quickly too, the equine center that you're operating within, this is not new. It's been there a while.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating story. It's my very good friend, Alexander Islinger, who owns the place here in Paso Robles, close to Heritage Ranch. And it's been there for probably 60 years, and he bought it 38 years ago. He's always had a vision of doing something with it to help people, and has tried different avenues. And when we approached him, could we use his private ranch and just have people there and help people? He was so excited and was so grateful. It's such a beautiful spot.
Yeah, it is gorgeous. So talk about life coaching with horses and how it is different from equine therapy.
Okay, so just as you say, what we do life coaching with horses versus equine therapy. Equine therapy, there are a few different modalities out there, but as the name says, they require participation of clinicians and people who are, therapists or psychologists. While life coaching with horses is basically, it's an alternative, way of supporting people with their mental, intellectual, emotional issues. And we work with trained and certified coaches, and we bring horses as part of the facilitation.
So they become your partner in that. And why choose horses?
So horses, one of the reasons we choose horses is because they are preyed upon animals. They are animals who really look for safety in the herd. They are basically community animals. They like to be in a group. They look out for each other. And because of that, they have honed over many, many years the abilities to read not just the environment, but to read their fellow animals, which we are a fellow animal. Mm-hmm. They read our biofeedback. We often point out to people how the horse is mirroring them. It is fascinating to watch.
So the horse actually picks up and mirrors what the person is doing or demonstrating.
Yes, they sort of connect on an emotional, energetical level with the beings around them. So when we put horses and clients together, then they start sort of reading each other, so to speak. The other reason why horses is because they are non-judgmental in their way, how they perceive other beings around them. There's no stories, there's no judgment, there's no, anything that may happen potentially between humans. So people, our clients, have a chance to feel extremely safe in no matter how they show up during the session.
How do you handle a situation? Because horses are not puny, generally. Right? So how do you handle a situation where you're putting a rather big animal in with a smaller human being? Is there something that they have to overcome there?
So the horses that we have the privilege to working with are all, number one, very, and I'm going to use a human term, very nice horses. They have no interest in biting or kicking. And while we, of course, as the facilitators, have a safety demonstration before every session, and we can read the horses. That's part of our long training, not just going through the program, but my long involvement with horses and Kasha's too. So we are very, very aware and very trained on seeing if there might be a situation that could become uncomfortable. It is actually kind of nice to see when somebody who is a little bit worried mm-hmm. steps in mm-hmm. and is just so happy after just a few moments with the horse.
Yeah.
Just so happy with them.
Yeah, because they've gotten through that fear.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they can tell by the what comes back from the horse and the way the quietness of the horse and the present that there was absolutely no need to be intimidated by this 1,200 pound animal.
Yeah, yeah. What when people come in contact with the horse, what can they expect?
Well, one of our one of the things that we offer our clients, whether those are individuals or groups, families, team co-workers, we offer customized activities, and they all happen on the ground. So our clients meet the horses and interact with them on the ground. There's no riding involved. So no worries about not having any horse experience or any riding experience. And we start very gently, especially when we when our clients have no experience with horses, we create gentle introductions. And we allow people step by step to get closer to horses, find some comfort, learn about safety. And then depending on the client's needs, we have different activities that allow people to get a little bit more involved with horses, have some fun, interact in different ways, and just sort of learn from those interactions and from what happens, learn about themselves, learn about potential solutions and creative ideas for their life.
When you started this nonprofit, what is it that you wanted to do with it? What is the nonprofit for and about, and who does it serve?
So I just want to say very briefly that I personally never really felt I should take really money from people who really need this work. So for me, it was a no-brainer to offer it because we used to be for-profit to nonprofit as a nonprofit. And the people we serve is we have a focus group, but we do really serve anybody in the community that needs it. But our mission is really to work together with the horses and the nature. And we like to support those and give back to our people in the community who help others. So people like you, Chris, and like Lexi, and like Shannon, people who are part of the nonprofit community. And we say, you guys give and give and give, not just of yourself and your time, but really also your emotions you often give. And those are the people we would like to offer support to. We would like to say to you, please come and experience a half a day or a day just for you.
And so Shannon, I'm gonna go to you and then to Lexi. With that invitation, I'm assuming that Yuta and Kasha reached out to Hospice Low and to you and said, we want to do this for you. What was your response initially?
It was an unbelievable offer. It was so exciting to think about, and it was incredibly generous. you know, and we put together several workshops after speaking with them and learning what everything might involve. We put together several different workshops for different groups of people within our organization. So first we started out with, we sent some staff members and some board members to really do connecting. And then we sent a group of our sort of specialized volunteers, which are end-of-life doulas who, as you know, was said earlier, they give and give to a very deep level to those people who are dying and their loved ones. And that was so successful that we opened it up to our entire volunteer population to really, you know, especially this happened recently, and that was pitched really as a rejuvenation, a healing experience after everything from the pandemic. And I'm hoping to work with them in the future to bring all those groups back again, but also to work with some of their smaller horses to provide support for children who have experienced loss and are going through grief. And with that piece, we would bring our own clinicians to work with the life coaches and the horses all in conjunction with one another.
Talk a little bit about the feedback that you got. What was your takeaway from this, the experience of this for you and your volunteers and staff?
It was magical. I mean, that might sound silly, but it was truly a magical experience. For me personally, you know, I spent 10 minutes just literally hugging this beautiful horse. And I didn't know that that's what I needed, but it's exactly what I needed. But it was calming. I felt it created connection, not just between us and the horses, but between us who were there together experiencing this. And one of the exercises we did was all about communication. I will admit I had a lot of anxiety about it, but it was really such an impactful exercise where I was with a group of people, some volunteers, and we had to direct the horse through an obstacle course we could not use our voices. So we could not communicate with one another. We could not communicate with the horse through voice. So it was all through our energy, through our body mannerisms, eye contact. And it was challenging, but we came out of that just learning so much about our own styles. And then what was great about that experience is then the life coaches came and worked with us, the humans, right, that just went through that experience, and we processed through what had happened and where the communication breakdowns were. And so we each got to learn about our own style, and then we got to learn about, you know, our partner's style. And that has said, you know, as we move forward in our work, we have this new understanding about one another and how we communicate and how we navigate.
I love that. I just love that. I'm Chris Kington Barker with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener supported radio station. We want to thank you for all of your support during our silent and sometimes not so silent drive. You have always made us feel loved, and you are loved for everything that you do to support the station. The voices you're hearing with me today are Yuta Turner and Kasia Rather, directors and master coaches with equine experience. Shannon McAlwett was just talking. She's the executive director of Hospice of San Luis Obispo County. She was sharing an experience that their staff and volunteers had with equine experience through the nonprofits reaching out to nonprofits to give them support and share their services for the kindness that all nonprofits put out for the community. Lexi Masters is also here with us, Housing Administrative Coordinator with Restorative Partners Incorporated. And Lexi, I'm going to go over to you. And I also want to say that if you have a question or comment about today's topic, you can call us at 805-549-8855, or you can email your questions or comments to voices@kcbx.org. Lexi, restorative partners also have the benefit of this, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
What was that like for you?
You know, it was really neat because I had just actually started with the company, and my boss, Julia Collins, she knows HUTTA from before. And so kind of out of the blue, you know, I was just in training and she said, hey, you know, we got offered to come to this demo event, you know, life coaching with horses. It's up near us in Heritage Ranch. And, you know, we got invited to come and see if our housing and treatment staff might benefit from a workshop with them. And, you know, me being an all-time, you know, lifelong lover of horses was so excited that I got, you know, that I get to work with horses and that it's, you know, I'm technically working, but that I get to do something really fun. And, you know, it was, yeah, it was amazing. It was really, a lot of kind of unexpected things came out of it. I think that I speak for myself and my coworkers. That I had always just kind of thought of horses as, you know, they're animals that you ride, right? That's how you connect with them. That's their main purpose. I had no idea. And I think my staff, you know, was unfamiliar too with the, as HUTTA and Kasha were talking about the, you know, the mental, you know, intellectual, emotional, type of connection that you can have with them.
What was the takeaway experience for you? Was there some kind of an aha thing that happened for you or something that really kind of stayed with you about that?
Yeah. I think, you know, I would say that the, because, you know, they did in the workshop, they had some individual exercises and then they had the team exercise that Shannon was talking about where you have to work together, but you can't talk, you know, to get the horse to go through the obstacle course. I think, you know, what became really apparent to me was how difficult it is to communicate without talking, like how we take that for granted. And we just, you know, verbal communication is the main way that we all get our, you know, our intentions across and how kind of also as Shannon was talking about, you know, body language and our movements can actually communicate a lot too. But how kind of difficult that was, at least for me. And it was, you know, somewhat frustrating if I'm honest, you know what I mean? Because I would be trying to communicate one thing, you know, to my coworker across the pen or the arena. And without talking, I had to kind of really, really get creative about how can I let them know, you know, my idea or, you know, something I want to try without being able to say it verbally. So, you know, and just being able to translate that kind of into my daily life too, that, although, you know, I can verbally communicate, at work in my daily life and everything, to also be aware of my nonverbal communication and what kind of cues I might be, you know, sending to, you know, my coworkers or our clients or, you know, even my family and friends, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's awesome because it sounds like the horse was picking up on your nonverbal cues.
Definitely. Yes, they're much more sensitive than I thought they were.
Yeah, they may be big, but not insensitive.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to you, Yuta and Kasha. What was that like working with this group? What comes back for you about, you know, was it fulfilling what you hoped it would be?
Yeah, this is Yuta. Yeah, it is actually always very fulfilling for us because every time we have the privilege to working with one of the nonprofits and with those, like we've talked before, that give, it is so good to see that even half a day or a day can make a big difference. Mm-hmm. How people can really reach across the aisle to their coworkers, that was very apparent with Lexi's group. A lot of the men that were there were incredibly vulnerable and incredibly kind to each other. It was wonderful to see and very open. It was really, that comes right back to me as Lexi was talking, how the communication between them was really amazing to see at the end. The difference Chris, from them, from the beginning of the workshop to the end, was just unbelievable how quickly they were able to immerse themselves in this little bit different way of communicating and feeling really safe, which is one of the things that really happens around horses and at this ranch. People feel safe. They feel they can let their guard down and they can share. And that really was very apparent with Lexi's group.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So you really noticed that with the group when you saw. And that was in what period of time?
It was half a day.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. How about for you, Kasia?
Well, I can go back to the workshops we had with hospice and with different groups. And I really remembered, the group of doulas that came, and it was all about relaxing and resting. As Shannon said, those people work so hard, for others, especially on an emotional level. And to see how nature and the horses, how much rest and relaxation they can provide, and again how comfortable people become around horses to just let themselves to talk about their needs and the desires. People talk a lot about what they need when it comes to building connection in relationships, whether it's a professional or personal relationship. So all that clarity, all that awareness that goes deeper and deeper in nature and with horses, it's just so beautiful to watch when it happens for people.
You know, having watched the two of you work, one of the things that I see that really is a difference between a therapist and a life coach that's working with the animals is that you're doing the same thing with the human that you're doing with the animal. You're allowing the other to do their own work.
Yes, this is Kasia. Yes, that's exactly what life coaching and then life coaching with horses is about. It's about meeting the clients where they are. We don't have our own agenda. We don't have preconceived notions of where people should be or where people should end, when they come out of the session. We sort of accompany our clients on their own personal journey, during their own self-exploration. And we let them take it whichever direction they needed and they want to. Mm-hmm. And we offer the support step by step.
Yeah. Yeah, I witnessed that. I saw that very clearly, which isn't that also a way of making it feel safe?
Yes, absolutely. It is. It is a little bit in the coaching terms, there is something that we say we're holding the space for somebody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're holding the space. And so whatever somebody brings that day, we're holding it for them. We're not trying to fix anything. We're just holding the space and really people in general, they either already know what will help them themselves. We and the horses just kind of guide them a little bit. And not having that shoved down your throat, so to speak, excuse me for the language, but I think that is very helpful for people who are already generally very much aware of where they are and what they need. You know, remember, a lot of the people we serve with our coaching are people who help others. They kind of know. And I want to just really quickly go back to something that Shannon was touching on about therapists and bringing a therapist. We've had also the privilege to working with therapists who bring their clients to us. And the therapist is there with us while we do a life coaching session. And what the therapist later says to us, they say, oh my God, it was in front of me the whole time and I didn't see it. But then the horse and with us facilitating showed me really what next step my client could really benefit from.
Right.
So that's a lot what this is about.
Yeah, we're going to take a real quick break. I'm going to send it back to Brad, and then we'll be back and we'll be talking more about what this looks like.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, what are the origins of privately run immigration detention facilities? And are these places actually necessary?
What has to happen in order for them to let us go home and get us out of this dangerous situation? I mean, how many people more are they going to need to see that die before they do something? This is inhumane what they're doing to us.
That's next time on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, life in Afghanistan today, now that the Taliban are in power. Reporter Najibullah Qureshi will join us from Kabul, where he has been talking to the Taliban as well as to people who fear them. He's the correspondent on a new PBS Frontline documentary about the Taliban takeover and the growing threat from Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Join us.
Building a mountain biking trail is surprisingly expensive.
I would say the sweet spot for high-quality professional-built trail is in that $50,000 to $70,000 a mile.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Whence come the bucks to build? Next time on Marketplace.
That's all ahead today here on KCBX. Latino USA at 2 o'clock, Fresh Air at 3, and then Marketplace at 4. Right now, let's return to Chris Kington Barker and her guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Chris.
Thank you, Brad. Equine experience or life coaching with horses is an alternative, safe, and gentle form of support that offers individuals and groups hands-on outdoor activities with horses and trained coaches. And those trained coaches are with me today on this show. They are Yuta Turner and Kasha Rather, directors and master coaches with Equine Experience. Shannon McCowett, Executive Director with Hospice of San Luis County, and Lexi Masters, Housing Administrative Coordinator with the Restorative Justice Inc., is here also. And we're talking about the outreach to nonprofits that the nonprofit Equine Experience has been doing with nonprofits in the area and how they want to continue to offer services to nonprofits and some of the other services that they offer through the organization. And I'm going to go back to you, Yuta and Kasha, if you could talk a little bit about what a typical half day or a day experience will look like. We heard a little bit from Lexi and Shannon, but how else might it look?
So like we said before, we are very, very good and enjoy to do customized group sessions. We found out that a lot of the nonprofits, because everybody is so incredibly busy and many of them are very short staffed. So half a day seems to be a really good fit for most of the nonprofits. We usually start out besides the regular thing, introduction and maybe intention setting. We will often do what we call immersion in the herd. So we have horses in a big pasture and we have people go in the pasture and we encourage people to maybe pick a horse, approach it. We do safety, of course, before, and we have people watching. That is often a great icebreaker. Think about it, you're at a party and here you have all these horses. And so this is great for people who are a little bit worried. And we have sometimes two people or three people approaching one horse, which is fascinating for us to watch. And then we can later ask what came up for people. Why did they pick a certain horse? And it's always really really interesting and revealing for both the client and us what then, comes up for the people. Mm-hmm. The next thing that we might do is a one-on-one coaching, which is one person and one horse in a big round type of arena. And Kasha, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So when it comes to individual coaching, this usually happens either in very small groups or when people want to come to us on their own. The reason for it is because often during that kind of session, more of a personal and emotional stuff comes up. And those are things that should not necessarily be shared in a bigger group. People have to often sort out things for themselves in their own life on a personal level first before they are ready to then step into the group environment and work farther down. So on the individual level, we have different activities. It could be just interacting with a loose horse in a round pen. It could be also an activity that involves being attached to the horse through a lead rope and a halter. And in those activities, people often work on personal clarity, on dissolving some limiting beliefs, on maybe on boundaries, maybe the way they show up and they want to communicate with others, on building connection with others. Often living in society the way we do, we have some sort of stereotype thinking and beliefs, and when people get to interact with horses, they get to examine those and really find out what's true for them versus what's been sort of pushed on them through cultural and social, life, so to speak.
Another thing that is really fantastic for groups is the different team exercises that we offer. Both Shannon and Lexi talked about the one where you don't really talk, but you have a group, either two or three. Sometimes we have four people in a very large area and one horse and different obstacles. It's really fun. Sometimes the people doing it don't think it's fun until they're out. And this is one of these exercises that really last beyond the day. Often, things come up, like Lexi was sharing, that something happened maybe in that big arena with the communication that you really say later, it's like an aha moment. Oh, yeah, I get now what happened in that arena. And I really get why the horse was now following my body movement and my energy and why before maybe not so much. So mm-hmm. Great for team exercises. Also for leadership, we do also nonprofits because they sometimes we get approached, and leadership exercises are really popular with those groups. And being a leader to a horse is often different than what we think about a leader. The leaders in the horse herd often are the older mares. They're not necessarily the big guys. So it's a little different story when people come to us and approach leadership. And those are several different exercises. We do always a lot of fun though.
Another big thing that happens during the activities that we offer either to individuals or groups is work on trust. Either trust into own abilities, into own internal resources, or trust that's being built among, team members, coworkers. And horses are great in helping us to provoke situations and create moments where the trust is being tested or built, and sort of where it grows, either between a person and a horse or between the team members.
There's also, we've talked about this before, horses are great at teaching about boundaries. Can you talk a little bit about that too?
Yes, horses are fantastic in teaching boundaries. If you ever watch even just two horses together, and there's always one horse that might step a little too close, and the way they communicate is very clear and very quick. And then they're not holding on to any grudge or anything like that. It's basically they will go maybe show their teeth or knock the other horse, and then they're done. there. And so sometimes I feel if we could learn about boundaries like that without hanging on to all the stuff we like to hang on to, it would be so much easier. It would be so much easier for all of us.
In
the communication among horses, setting boundaries is actually part of communication. It's a part of exchanging information. As humans, we're scared of setting boundaries. We have some negative sort of ideas that boundaries are going to get in the way we connect with people. Boundaries will ruin our relationship. And yet, looking at horses, boundaries clear. Boundaries actually help to strengthen the connections, the relationships, and just help each other to know exactly where everybody is in the group, how we feel. So it brings a lot of clarity and a lot of, you know, clean space into the group, into the relationship. And so we can learn from horses that boundaries are actually very effective and very good for us humans to communicate with each other.
Your facility is quite large and quite beautiful. Can you talk a little bit about, is it something that nonprofits can access year round, or is it pretty much every once in a while?
So for us, our nonprofit Life Coaching with Horses, the owner of the ranch, it is not our facility. Alexander Islinger has given us permission to use the facility all year long. So we can have workshops all year long for other groups, mostly nonprofits. But like I said, we also do workshops for profits. And that is really a great privilege, and we are very grateful for that.
We have access to several different setups on the ranch. There are different size arenas. There are a couple round pens. We also have access to a very big covered arena, which allows us to run the workshops and do events all year round, regardless of the weather.
Oh, that's fantastic. And we have a call. Brad, do you want to bring a question?
Well, yeah,
we
just had a comment from a caller, Chris, a local caller who is a Vietnam vet with PTSD. He says that he's been helped tremendously through the Veterans Service Equine Therapy Program in San Ynez. And it sounds like there is a lot of crossover with those efforts.
Yes, very, very many people, I think, might have read about the benefits that our veterans have had from working with the equine assistant, either therapy or equine assistant coaching. And there are quite large nonprofits in the United States that do that work. And we would love to work with vets. We just haven't quite had a chance to connect with them. So if anybody is listening that is from a vet organization, please reach out to us. Please go to our website, lifecoachingwithhorses.org. Reach out to us. We would love to provide free services to your organizations and help those who serve our nations so deeply.
You also have a labyrinth. Can you talk about how you use the labyrinth? Mm-hmm.
Yes, a few years ago, a group of our friends, plus we didn't know there are actually professional labyrinth architects and people who helped to build them. So we got together, a group of us and the professional, and we picked a lovely place at the ranch, sort of a little bit farther away from the main sort of place where everything happens. So it provides super nice, calm, quiet environment and under oak trees. So it's a beautiful location. And we build this labyrinth from local rocks. And we used labyrinth and different form of activities in the labyrinth, usually for the type of workshops and events when people look a little bit more for relaxation, rejuvenation. Walking through labyrinth can bring a lot of peace, allows for meditation and self-reflection. So especially when somebody needs really quiet and reflective time, this is a place where we often take our individual clients or groups.
Okay, fantastic. And Lexi, I'm going to go back to you because I asked Shannon what the response was from some of her group. What was the response that you got back from some of the individuals who participated when you were there?
Sure. Yeah. It was really, you know, as Hatha and Kasha were talking about, really amazing to see the change in them from the beginning to the end. You know, a lot of our work deals with, you know, addicts in recovery, and the recovery, you know, we're kind of in that recovery industry. And so a lot of our staff are either in recovery or, you know, are restored from having, you know, a criminal, past criminal lifestyle. So, you know, I don't even think, you know, they knew that this kind of, you know, this kind of, opportunity was near them. And so, you know, getting to participate in it, I think really just opened up their minds and just kind of blew some of them away. You know what I mean? And, you know, Restorative Partners are, you know, one of our kind of central themes is, mind, body, and spirit. And we do a lot of work with that. And so, we're pretty used to, you know, kind of opening up and kind of, communicating with each other about where we're at and what kind of help we might need. And so, it was cool to, you know, to see our staff and, see them kind of open up with the horses and be willing to do the activities. A lot of them had fear of horses. And so, you know, it was cool to see them, start to feel safe with them and start to interact with them and, kind of, you know, kind of change some of those like internal misconceptions, you know, that they had, about horses, you know, before coming and doing this activity. So, yeah, I think a lot of us, especially in the individual activity, got to really do what Kasha was talking about and look, on a more personal level within and see what we were needing, you know, currently in our life. I know for some of them, it was, playfulness. They just needed to lighten up and play more in life. You know, for me personally, I'll share that it was, worrying too much about what other people think in every setting. And so it was really good for me to do work on that. For other people, it was, they needed to be more disciplined, you know, and then again, you know, someone else just needed to be more in tune with their emotional side and, really, you know, slow down and stop kind of rushing through. So that was really cool to have those personal realizations too.
Do you see this being something that Restorative Partners will continue to utilize as a way of connecting or energizing or growing?
Definitely, yeah. We did, you know, we wanted to, like I said, me and my boss just came first for the demo to see, you know, what it was about, if we thought our, you know, if we thought that our company could benefit from it. And so then we had just there's two sides to us. So we have an in-custody reentry team and then a housing treatment team. So, so far we've only had the housing treatment team participate. And after, you know, after experiencing that and seeing the change in everybody and how much closer we were as a group, we definitely, you know, told the other team about it in custody reentry and asked them if, you know, later on, if they would like to also participate, because it was just, you know, again, so helpful in our team building, and our atmosphere together.
Fantastic. And Shannon, you've used it a couple of times. How do you envision that this has applications not only for the staff, but volunteers going forward? What do you see?
Oh, I envision regular workshops, and I want to work with Uta and Kasha to really customize based on our different levels of volunteer and staff. But honestly, I also see this expanding to our clients. You know, we have caregivers who are just, you know, working so hard to support their loved ones, and really they themselves need some restorative healing. So I see the possibilities as being quite varied. I also would love to have us go and participate with another nonprofit, maybe a like-minded, people doing similar work, so that we can connect and form these community partnerships and community trust as well. So I can't speak enough for how honestly easy it is to work with Uta and Kasia to develop and plan and coordinate these days, and as powerful and healing as engaging with the horses is, and magical those beings are, the life coaching with the humans is so powerful, and they bring it all full circle. And these are incredibly gentle animals and incredibly gentle humans. And it feels safe. And I will tell you my personal experience, I was totally intimidated by having this close contact with horses. I didn't know how I was going to respond. I didn't know. I am a mother of three, and these ladies actually put me with a horse who was also a mother of three. And I just sat there and I just held the horse, and I just kind of was soothing her and she was soothing me. There was an opportunity to walk around, but I soon quickly figured out, no, I just need to be here in this moment, present with this other mother.
A mother of another hoof. Yeah. Uta and Kasia, we have about 5 minutes or so left. So I want to make sure that first, any nonprofit can reach out to you.
Absolutely.
Yes, please. And we are only as effective as we can be when we actually have people show up.
Yeah.
You know, when people come to us. And we just recently had a workshop canceled on us on the very last second because people didn't really, I think, get that we are free. I mean, we love having donations, and that's really how we work, like every nonprofit, but it's free. I mean, it's a free service, people. And yeah. So if you don't show up, nothing we wonderfully or magical will happen to you or your staff.
Yeah. You've been, you have been frustrated by this because you reached out to nonprofits who can't believe that there's not a catch here.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
That there isn't some little, some little hook. And there is no hook. The hook is what? The hook is that there's...
They just need to show up. They need to take, half day off or maybe 6 hours out of their day and travel to the ranch that's located by Nacimiento Lake. So that's really all the work that needs to be done. Otherwise, there is no catch. And, yes, the life coaching with horses, those services are offered all over the country, all over the world. And 99%, those are private businesses, private coaches who offering those services, they charge quite a bit of money.
Yes.
Because they need to cover often cost of renting a ranch, renting horses. We are in this privileged situation that we have access to gorgeous ranch, we have access to fantastic horses, and we do really want to make those services available to everybody. And we know that in other cases, money can get in a way, and we don't want this to be this case. So there is no catch. Just contact us, reach out, talk to us about your needs, about your desires, and we'll make it happen.
And so you will take groups as small as six people, but no smaller than that. So at least six, and as large as how many?
So we can do groups for the two of us. We like to have no more than 12 people in a group.
Okay.
But somehow, sometimes people sneak in, and then all of a sudden it's 14 or 15. So we have done that also, no problem. We do private sessions, one person, two people, three people. Groups, those six, it would be our minimum of people showing up. If all of a sudden somebody comes and has 50 people, we will probably split them up and get more help from another facilitator. It can all be arranged and done. Just contact us.
Okay. And so the way for people to contact you is through the website.
Yes, please go to our website, because we would love for you to read all the wonderful things you could experience. It's lifecoachingwithhorses.org. And there is our information is on there, how to reach us by email is the best, and we will get right back to you.
And they are not in Heritage Ranch, so you don't need to go into Heritage Ranch. They will give you directions, and it is in a beautiful area. And what else do we need to know about this?
No riding. There's no riding involved. Right. And no experience necessary. We do like people to wear real shoes, no sandals. That's about all you need to know.
Yeah. And is there an age limit?
Yes, there is, only because we have experienced ourselves and other coaches that children under the age of 12 often don't have their vocabulary. They don't quite understand sometimes when we facilitate. So for younger children, it would have to be a different type of program.
Okay. All right. So 12 years and up, there is no upper age limit.
Not really, as long as somebody is physically able to spend some time around horses. It could be very stationary, but they need to still be able to be nearby horses. The other thing is this, our program, especially now during pandemic, is particularly safe because everything happens outdoors and we can keep enough distance among our participants to that feels safe even with the pandemic around.
Okay. And there's plenty of area for people to park. It's easy to find with the directions.
Yes.
So, and you get those directions when you sign up. You'll work with them on a schedule that'll work for their schedule.
Yes.
So I think from Shannon, anything you want to say?
I know that this sounds too good to be true, but it's not. I mean, it's a beautiful experience. It's really healing. It brings connection. And it's just a really lovely experience.
Great. And how about for you, Lexi?
I would just encourage people and let them know that, you know, sometimes when we face our fears and do things that we're skeptical about, some of the most amazing, unexpected benefits can come out of that in all sorts of ways. So I just really encourage people to try new things like this. And even if you're scared, go for it and really try to give it your all and be open-minded to it.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you. I am Chris Kington Barker with you for Central Coast Voices, your listener-supported radio station. You've been listening to the voices, and I really want to thank my guests, Yuta Turner and Kasha Cater. Directors and Master Coaches with Equine Experience, Shannon McCowett, Executive Director for Hospice of San Luis County, and Lexi Masters, Housing Administrative Coordinator for Restorative Partners, Inc. Next week, please join Fred Monroe and his guests. Central Coast Voices has been brought to you by KCBX in collaboration with San Luis Obispo Community Foundation, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. Thank you for joining us.